following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this January 24th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. You got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. It's a free-for-all Friday. Man, it's a nice one outside. Starting to get a little warmer. Sun is out, melting all that snow and ice in the Auburn Opelika area. So hope you're all doing well on this Friday afternoon. And my goodness, do we have things to talk about today. Auburn basketball hosting Tennessee in one of the biggest games so far this season. That'll be taking place tomorrow night inside of Neville Arena. College Game Day is in town. They'll be on the air tomorrow morning inside of Neville Arena on what is soon to be named Bruce Pearl Court, I would hope. And so we'll talk a lot about that today, plus what's happening around the SEC in college basketball this weekend. Plus, Auburn football has junior day that's only grown since the last time we talked about it, literally yesterday. So we'll get into that a little bit. Plus, there's some news around college football as we continue to inch closer to danger, I think. And so lots of things. Plus, the NFL playoffs are this weekend continuing on with the NFC and the AFC championship game. So plenty of content to get us through a free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. Packed house on this Friday as this man back in the studio, as he has been every Monday and Friday for quite some time. He's wild. He's crazy. He is your favorite Uncle Tebow. My man, good to see you. Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy free-for-all Friday to you, Jacob. 334-321-1390. Get in early. Get in often. Big weekend of sports here on the Plains and elsewhere around the SEC. College basketball is in full force now that the college football national championship is over and football season, at least on the field, is over. But you said it. Big list of visitors tomorrow.
Yep.
Huge junior day. Auburn recruiting continuing to be on fire. Hugh Freeze and staff doing a fantastic job recruiting off the field and in the transfer portal. NFL playoffs are here. The AFC and NFC championship games. I've got some interesting picks and thoughts on that if y'all want to get to it.
Okay, yeah, we will a little bit later.
Yeah, and then leading up into the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. And just a lot going on, man. Glad to be here with you. Glad to be here with the voice of the Lee Scott Warriors as well, Christian Griffin.
Yeah, excited to be here. Excited to be able to talk about everything, especially the game tomorrow night inside Neville Arena. Y'all both kind of broke everything down. Nothing left for me to say. Let's just hop right into it.
Yeah, T-Bone said it. Phone lines are wide open on this free-for-all Friday, 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And you start looking around the SEC and college basketball tomorrow. Guys, there's great games. I mean, you could say that every night that the SEC's in action. You've got top 10 matchups, top 25 matchups, and even the ones that don't have ranked versus ranked, this conference is still really, really good. And, I mean, it starts right out the gate, and it goes all the way to tomorrow night when Auburn takes on Tennessee. I mean, is there a particular matchup for you? I mean, heck, you got two great games tonight in college basketball with Villanova and Marquette, and then a top 25 game with Michigan on the road in West Lafayette taking on Purdue. I mean, it gets started tonight.
I think the one that I'm looking forward to the most, other than Ole Miss, or other than Auburn and Tennessee, is Ole Miss and Missouri. Two teams that started off really, really hot. Two teams that have kind of sputtered over the last week or two. Both of these teams would like and need a quad one, a ranked win. Again, number 16, Ole Miss, traveling to number 22 in Columbia, Missouri. That game at 5 o'clock on SEC Network, I believe. But again, both of those teams really, really needing a win, needing a bounce back as you work your way towards February.
Both of those teams sitting at 4-2 in the conference, Uncle T-Bone. Mm-hmm. Not a bad spot to be, especially for Missouri, who has really surprised everybody. Winner of this game, all of a sudden, 7 games in, you're 5-2 in conference play, and that's a great spot to be in the SEC.
Yeah, I kind of break down the league into the four elite teams, which are 1A and 1B, really, for me, Auburn and Alabama, Florida and Tennessee, then a large group of teams, which include Ole Miss and Missouri, and then the bottom dwellers. Which includes a team that finally got their first SEC victory over Georgia, Arkansas this past Wednesday. South Carolina kind of brings up the rear with them, and Texas and Oklahoma. But Ole Miss and Missouri kind of lead that second pack, that large glut. Texas A&M, Kentucky, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, and then Georgia kind of in there, but starting to fall off a little bit. Vanderbilt and Georgia really kind of bubble teams right now, in my opinion, going into the SEC, into the NCAA tournament. So you want to win. You want to win early in the league. You want to make sure you get enough wins stacked up so you don't have to worry about being in the NCAA tournament despite what happens in the SEC tournament. The competition in this league is fierce, and whichever team between Ole Miss and Missouri and that big glut of teams leads that pack, and that's a good place to be right now, probably around a 4 seed if you finish out that way.
You look at this game, the Missouri Tigers at Ole Miss. Missouri, a 1.5-point favorite as things open up. So they're expecting that game to be a fantastically played game. And again, you talked about it, Jacob. The winner of this game kind of makes that jump into the bottom half of Tier 1 or the bottom half of Tier 1B, if you will. So 1.5-point line right now favoring Missouri.
You look at the latest bracketology. This is from Joe Lenardi today on ESPN. And you've got about, less than 2 months. You've got about 6 weeks or so left of the conference slate. Auburn is still your top overall seed in college basketball right now. If the tournament were to have started today, Auburn is the top overall seed. The last team in to the NCAA tournament is from the SEC. It is those Texas Longhorns, Uncle T. Last ones in as of right now. Your last four byes include two more SEC teams with Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. Your last team in is Texas. Your next four out is a couple of Big Ten squads. And then the next four out is a mixture of teams in there. But the SEC, as of right now, on January 24th, that's today, SEC still slated to get 13 teams, and I know you disagree with that wholeheartedly, Uncle T. I know you do.
That's just way too many. I'll take the under on that right now for anybody who wants what it wants.
Is Texas one of those that doesn't make it in your book?
As of right now, absolutely.
What about Vanderbilt and Oklahoma?
I think Vandy's got a better shot than Oklahoma.
I'd agree with that.
I think Texas finds a way to get in.
Texas is a 1.5-point favorite tomorrow night, hosting Texas A&M.
That'd be a good start.
If they're able to get a win. At home in Austin against a top 15 ranked team in Texas A&M with Uncle T-Bone's favorite player in the SEC, Wade Taylor. If they can knock that done, that's a pretty good start to getting not only a bubble spot, but getting a pretty solid spot in the NCAA tournament.
They're not going to beat A&M tomorrow night.
Ain't no way.
Ain't no way Buzz Williams walks into that trap.
I don't know.
You're talking about 13 teams from the league getting
SEC
in.
Has 13. Big Ten has 10. I think that's too many for the Big Ten because they're including teams last four byes like a Maryland, last four in Ohio State. Next four out, the Big Ten's got two on that bubble with Nebraska and Indiana. And I'll tell you what, I don't think those teams make the NCAA tournament. I just don't. And
I think there's 10 teams that make the SEC at the most.
Look at the ACC with 5. That's the ACC has just 5, and I think that's maybe
I was about to say that sounds like a little too many.
You could say 2 or 3 at most, and I don't think anybody would complain.
That's with Pittsburgh being last 4 in, so they're one of those bubble teams right now. SMU is first 4 out, and Wake Forest is the next 4 out. I mean, the ACC is terrible. Just look at the conference. It's abysmal. Duke and North Carolina are the only two quad 1 teams in the conference. We said this yesterday, Duke won't play a ranked team the entire time they play ACC basketball.
If South Carolina was playing in the ACC, they'd be competing for an ACC regular season championship.
They'd be a top 5 team in the ACC.
Yeah.
And now they're winless in the SEC. Now, I will say, they host Mississippi State tomorrow morning. Watch out. I'm just telling you, watch out. South Carolina has played these teams tough. They just can't get over that hump. I think that's a game that you need to look out for. But how about Auburn? As it stands right now, the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament, guys, do you know where that would put them playing their first round games? It would be in Lexington, which wouldn't be the end of the world, but do you know where that would put them in terms of the region where they could be playing an Elite Eight?
That would Atlanta. Be at State Farm, correct?
At State Farm Arena in downtown Atlanta. Do we even understand how big of a deal that would be for Auburn to be able to play the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, an hour and a half on the money from where we sit right now?
Well, our man Jack Hudden with his HUD Matrix has Auburn currently the best odds to win a national championship, plus 550 at 8%.
Mm.
I mean, you know, listen.
I think it's between Auburn and Duke right now on most books. I don't trust Duke. I don't trust them.
Man, it you can have a really, really fantastic basketball team and stumble in the tournament easily. I've seen it 100 times. It takes so much luck in the ball bouncing right in every direction for you in every game. Plus, the matchups have to line up correctly as well. Bad matchup can oust a really good team quickly. So,
sure.
I think there's just way too much data right now to confirm Auburn is the number one seed. Do I think they're one of the top in the whole tournament? Are they one of the top 10 teams in the country and top 10 best chances to win the NCAA tournament? Yes, I do. But we've already seen once that Jani Broom skated by a pretty serious injury and now has a semi-serious injury. What's going to be the lingering effect on that? And is it going to happen again? Auburn has to just maintain to do the small things correctly. CBM and the entire team has to keep the emotions between the buoys. They cannot have any more injuries for a long period of time. Or, you know, and they got to get a little lucky. I think they've gotten a little lucky, and they make a lot of their own luck because they play such – their defense with such tenacity. But still, I mean, there's a long ways to go. We're not even out of January yet, guys.
You talked about Jani Broom. According to a couple different sources, Jani Broom will be a game-time decision tomorrow night against Tennessee. Jacob, immediately shaking your head. I know where you're going with this. It's kind of what we talked about yesterday, to where if he's not 110% ready to go, yes, it's a big game at home. Yes, you want to win it, but going back to the conversation that we're having right now, Auburn is the favorite to win the national championship. And that goes a little bit further than winning one regular season game at home.
I 100% agree. I know there were the reports that he was out of the boot, and then Bruce Pearl said in his media availability this week that Jani might be able to get back to practice. I believe he did it yesterday, and that he would be questionable / game time decision, which is where it stands right now for a game played tomorrow night, 7:30, inside of Neville Arena. As much as Auburn fans want this, and as much as the players, and especially Bruce Pearl, want this. It's Tennessee, man. He wants to beat them every time he can, given what happened to him there. But it's not worth it if it puts Jani Broom in a bad spot.
No.
If it puts him in a dangerous spot to re-injure an ankle that's not an easy injury to overcome and so easy to re-aggravate, beating Tennessee on January 25th is not worth it to get eliminated early in the NCAA tournament. It's just not to me. And if you lose this game tomorrow, oh well. Who cares? You have a top 10 loss, and it's your first loss in SEC play.
The cheers inside Neville Arena when Jani Broom's name gets announced tomorrow night is not worth the silence that could possibly happen if Jani Broom lands awkwardly going after a rebound and you see him sprint to the locker room like he did a couple
weeks ago. Or have to get carried off the floor.
Or something like that. Yeah, the silence that would follow is not worth it.
No.
How many games between now and tip-off for the tourney that Thursday of the start of the NCAA tournament would Auburn have to lose to be to fall out of a number one seed?
Are you including SEC tournament?
Yes. How many total games?
Probably four or five.
I was going to say four or five.
How many to fall out of a number two seed?
Six or seven.
Do you think without Jani Broom, Auburn could keep from losing no more than six games the rest of the season?
Yes.
it ain't worth playing him unless he's 100%.
Now, you may lose that number one overall seed line, which we just talked about how important that is to be able to have the chance, right, to play those later tournament games in Atlanta, which I do think is a big deal.
Huge deal.
But at the end of the day, you got to play the game no matter where it's at, right? Auburn learned that last year when you had to go to Spokane. You got to play no matter where it's at. And if it is, we risk losing the number one overall seed to make sure we secure a number one or even a two seed, then yeah, I think you have to take that. You got to play it safe, and you got to play the games anyway. So just do your best right now, and it's not worth re-injuring Jahni Broome.
The more you play Broome, the more minutes you open up for other players to play and must play, and it's a double-edged sword. And on one hand, it's good for those players to get a tremendous amount of experience and to get all kinds of different combinations and looks as you prepare yourself for that big run in the NCAA tournament and see what works and what doesn't work and what personnel together and what rotations work and what do not. But on the other hand, those players are playing a lot more minutes than they're used to, and you're opening yourself up for one of them to get injured as well. So, you know, you need him back, obviously. He's one of the number one players. He's one of the best players in college basketball, if not the number one player. But there is no reason to risk at all the health of your program and your ability to even have a shot at being a number one seed and being a national champion, because it's a lot easier to get to that Final Four as a one or two than anything else. Make sure he's good to go and continue to manage and build your roster and your combinations while you have the time to do it.
It was the Georgia State game where he got hurt initially with the shoulder problem, where he sprinted off the floor. And we had this same conversation going into the Purdue game that was played up in Birmingham. I said, don't play him. If he's not 100%, don't play him. He said he was. Auburn said he was. And he had one of his best games of the year.
He sure did.
But I think this is a little bit different of a situation. But what I said in that game, I believe, carries into this game, too. Tennessee's a good team. Rick Barnes is an experienced coach. And whether this would be made public, it never would. But you can't tell me that if Jahni Broome gets in the basketball game tomorrow, Tennessee doesn't have it on their minds that they have not been coached to go after that ankle. Go after it.
Goodness gracious. Like the Cobra Kai.
Tell me I'm wrong. Sweep the leg, Johnny.
Sweep
the leg. They're not gonna purposely just kick it, but they're fighting for a rebound and they have a chance to get. I'll say it. I ran cross country, super physical sport, right? I mean, it's big time stuff. We had concussions all the time.
That's what I think about when I think about physicality.
That's what everybody says.
Rugby and cross country, right?
But we had kids, and I was included at times. You wore spikes at times. You take a corner, get after somebody. You got to win, right?
What
you got
to
take the corner and get after them. All I'm saying here is Tennessee knows Jahni Broome is banged up. They know he's got a weak ankle. You can't tell me they're not coached to do something.
Let me comment on this real quick.
Go for it.
I agree to an extent. I don't think that they're going to be coached to drop the hammer down on his ankle.
I don't either.
But I do think that what you're trying to say is they're going to go right at him as much as they can.
Absolutely.
And they're going to get real physical, probably a little bit more physical because they know he's wounded.
Well, it goes back to an MLB or a baseball term to where a dude throws a backdoor curveball, swings at it, fouls it off, hits his front ankle, and he's limping out of the batter's box. What do you think the pitcher's going to the very next pitch?
Exactly.
He's going to the exact same thing, hoping that you do the exact same thing. And, again, it's one of those cat-and-mouse games with the physicality. You're going to see a little bit more of it if he's in the game, in the paint. I 100% agree. But Jahni Broome at the same time, we're talking about all of this. It's ultimately his go. The coaches aren't rushing it by any means. He said he's not rushing it. It's 100%. When Jahni is ready, he will see the floor, and we're happy to wait for him, or we're happy to cheer him on tomorrow night, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow. Auburn and Tennessee, more on this game later on in the show. Plus, we'll make picks for around the SEC, maybe some other games in college basketball. But while there's a huge game on campus for the basketball program, what a huge day tomorrow is for the football program as well. Junior day for Hugh Freeze and the Tigers. We'll talk about that, who's on campus, and how big could it be. More on that when we return here on the Free For All Friday edition of On The Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
All right, we continue on here on the Free For All Friday edition of On The Line on ESPN 106.7 as It's a big day for Auburn basketball tomorrow, hosting Tennessee in a top 10 matchup. Also, a College Game Day is in town, which makes it a perfect opportunity for football recruiting, right? It's a huge, huge weekend and day tomorrow for Hugh Freeze and this entire Auburn football staff. A new look staff is the confirmation of a new special teams coordinator as well. We talked about that earlier in the week with Lunsford was announced and official yesterday or today. But Auburn is bringing in some of, if not the best players, Uncle T-Bone, in the junior class will be on campus tomorrow. As of yesterday, seven different states were going to be represented on campus from high schools across the country, including Omar Mapson, who's going to be here from Auburn High School, who's reclassifying. He'll be on campus for an official visit. But my goodness, I mean, there are going to be dozens and dozens and dozens of recruits on campus tomorrow, which just goes to show how good Auburn football recruiting has been.
I mean, there's talent at Auburn. There's talent continually coming into Auburn. You can't say that for 3 to 4 years, really, except at a few key positions only before Hugh Freeze got here. I know we get frustrated with the wins and losses as fans. I mean, that's evident. And to an extent, it should be. There were games this year Auburn should have won that they outcoached themselves.
Yeah.
They were right there and made some poor decisions in play calling, which put the team in a position to lose. Special teams didn't help. They seem to have rectified that, at least they think, with the new hire. I'm all for it. They needed to do that. Glad they did it. So that looks like that's going in a positive direction. But what's been in a positive direction since day one for Auburn under Hugh Freeze is the recruiting efforts. I mean, they are relentless out there on the recruiting trail. And they're making it a key to continue to dominate Alabama, and they have, the state of Alabama, and work their way from the inside out. And you see some of these players that they're bringing in, especially bringing in these guys from Maryland. They got the number one five-star edge in the country coming in.
Yep.
Who's committed to Maryland. You can't tell me that those DJ Durkin contacts aren't paying off there. So talent is not an issue at Auburn. It's good to see, and you got to think if they continue down this road and continue piling up talent, it'll finally translate on the football field with wins, and if it doesn't, it's going to be a huge problem.
You would think it would, and even if it doesn't to the extent that Auburn fans want it to be or to the liking of the athletic department and John Cohen and things like that, I mean, I heard you talking with Doug a little bit earlier today, Uncle T, about how many wins it takes for Freeze to keep his job and conversations that we're going to have throughout the entire offseason. But if there is something that could save his job if the wins don't come as quickly as fans want them to, it is the successful recruiting for what we just saw for 25, what 2026 could be, and beyond.
Well, that's what we were talking about with year three is what he was asking for, was to be able to stack a couple recruiting classes together, and you're continuing to see it now. I mean, these are juniors that we talked about yesterday that are making their way onto campus. That is step one that you have to do as a coach. You get the personal contacts with those kids as they make their way on campus. Again, that is the biggest thing, getting step one locked down, establishing some relationships on campus at Auburn.
And, you know, it's just so important for Auburn to continue to dominate the state, continue to get outside the state and the neighboring states of Georgia and Mississippi and Tennessee. I mean, heck, like you said, T-Bone, you got kids from Maryland and New Jersey that are going to be here this weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, Auburn is having to, and what Hugh Freeze has had to do, is rebuild the brand and get the mantra back up on what the Auburn logo represents in the national perspective on the orange and blue, on the orange and blue AU. I mean, he's had to work really, really hard to do that.
Yes. No, it was a harder job, I think, than he even thought it was once he got here. I've been told that upon his arrival that there were coaches that said there probably wouldn't be 10 players that were SEC worthy on the roster at the time. I mean, you've seen a complete overhaul of the roster. It's young. The fans, though, for the most part, have done a really good job of sticking with this program despite it all. Just think what will happen with the fan base, with that loyalty, if they really start winning big with this talent. And then what happens? And I think at the start of the season next year that this team will have as much talent too deep is they do at Alabama. He wanted to take it to Alabama first. They did. Now let's take it to Georgia and start taking back some recruiting territory in that state as well.
We'll talk more about that. Dak, hold on. You'll be first up when we come back 30 minutes in to hour number one.
Are on the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes in to hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goertz. We got Uncle Tebow. We got Christian Griffin. It's a full house on the Friday afternoon, and we get to the phone lines here on the show. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Dak, appreciate you holding on, my man. Just didn't have enough time before the break and wanted to have plenty of time for you to say what's on your mind, my man.
I hear you, man. I appreciate that. The last two times you got me with like 2 minutes before the break, so I'm glad you held on this time.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Oh, nothing, man. I enjoyed the coaching clinic this past weekend in Montgomery, and got to talk to my buddy David Cutcliffe. I hadn't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
He's always a joy to talk to. And first time talking to Matt Rhule. Man, he's a really super nice guy.
Okay.
And matter of fact, when I told him where I lived, he started asking me about the running back at the high school and wanting no information. He said he was going to try to get out here while he was in town.
Hope you said good things about our boy Omar.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And, hopefully you said nothing.
But the main reason I was calling, following up on what y'all were talking about, I talked to several head coaches and several assistant coaches in college ranks that are former Auburn guys as well. And every one of them told me the same thing, that we are loaded at every position but one. And I guess we can all guess which position that would be. But they went
kicker.
On and on about – there you go, T-Bone. There you go. But, yeah, he said – like you – I think T-Bone might have said it about for the first time, our two deep will be equal to Alabama. And talking to everyone – they seem to believe that as well, and with the exception of that one position, and we know what that is. But hopefully, it'll be better, and we can compensate a little bit, you know, with having more talent than we have in the past, you know.
And it has to be like you have to get to that point. And I think Auburn has, right? And at every position other than one, you can make arguments on a couple of others that could still use improvement, but this is going to be the best Auburn roster we've seen. Oh, goodness. I mean, I'm trying to make a comparison. 20, could you say 17? I don't even think that roster had.
When our we had the four big defensive linemen. What year was that?
17.
Well, yeah. you had 19 too with
I think those guys. I think between 17 and 19, with 17 being more, that was a very talented roster. But it wasn't as deep at running back. If it would have been, they'd have probably won the SEC championship and gone on to the Final Four.
Well, that was our own fault. We were deep, but we caused that issue.
You're right about that.
We had it, and we didn't. We didn't operate that machine in the way that we should have.
Let me say this, Dak. Call me crazy here, right? Tebow mentioned it earlier, and you brought it up just now, that Auburn, for the first time in a long time, is going to have as much talent on the two deep as Alabama. And they're still going to be very talented. But am I crazy in saying that maybe Auburn should change its target of not being as good as Alabama to just seeing how good you could be? Because of the back step that I think Alabama is in the midst of taking and could be taking over the next couple of years, to where Auburn could not only catch up, but could just flat out pass what Alabama is or what Alabama was.
Well, this is the opportunity to do it. With Nick Saban gone, that we, and I think Hugh Freeze sees it too, and I think where we got jump started was going after the state of Alabama. And I think that's what we have to continue to do, is because I think that what coaches are at Alabama right now don't understand that. I think they still are recruiting nationally big time. they're not worried as much about these guys from the state of Alabama. But we have got to take this opportunity to get our guys from Alabama, from the high school ranks.
Especially from Mobile.
That's right. And it's obvious that they don't see the importance of it, and it will only take another year or two before they do.
That's right.
And they'll go back to trying to get these high school kids from Alabama. We've done a poor job of getting them before Hugh Freeze got here.
Well, and you'll be able to back me up on this. There's so many people, whether they're in Tuscaloosa or even the surrounding states, that try to say, oh, well, Auburn got 8 or 9 or 10 of the top 10 players in the state. That's just because the talent's not as good this year, so nobody wanted them. That's just not true.
That's ridiculous.
No.
It's not
that,
true.
That is, no. As a matter of fact, it's probably been the most talented that I've seen in probably 5 or 6 years.
Especially on the defensive side of the football. There's some studs
exactly.
on that side.
Yeah, nobody wanted Jordan Crawford. Nobody wanted Alvin Henderson.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody wanted Derek Smith.
Right.
You know, Antonio Coleman never was committed to Alabama twice.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah. I mean, guys, and this year coming up, there's another good crop. So if we can get another 10 to 12 guys from the state of Alabama and you get your 6 to 8 from Georgia, that goes back to the Coach Dye's days of hammering Georgia and Alabama and trying to get all those top guys.
And then handpicking what you want from other states. I mentioned earlier, Auburn has 7 or 8 different states represented tomorrow for Junior Day, from Maryland and New Jersey, and go get kids in California like Auburn has done, and Texas and Oklahoma and things like that. I mean, man, if you can, because that's what Saban did, right? Saban locked down the state of Alabama where he put the work in early, got that done,
that's
and
right.
then down the home stretch, he could go handpick kids from across the country and just make the
that's
perfect
right.
recruiting class.
That's right. You know, once he had that snowball rolling down the hill, man, it wasn't stopping, man. It was
right.
just continuously every year, you know.
Saban got back in Alabama, back in the game.
That's
in
right.
In his second recruiting year, because the first one, he got in late enough to make a little difference, including Josh Chapman out of Hoover,
right.
who was locked in with Auburn, and he flipped him. That sent a message that they were going to go into the state of Alabama first, which they did. And in year two, I believe he got 18 of the top 20 players in the state of Alabama. Auburn got one and Florida got one, and the one Auburn got never even qualified academically.
Yeah,
and we were done.
That's right. And guess who, too, and not that he's a bad person. He's a good man. He did a great job for the Alabama High School Athletic Association. But guess who handed all them Mobile players to Saban?
Steve Savarese.
There you
That's
go.
That's right.
There you go. Yep.
Like Cornelius Bennett, too, Dak. Remember that?
That's right. That's right. Julio, T.J. Yeldon, all them guys.
Yeah, they're just a hand walk right into it. Just let them right to
Alabama
Tuscaloosa.
Alabama had a great recruiting class this year on paper. I wouldn't trade Auburn's class with them.
Absolutely
they did
not.
A little damage in Mississippi. They could have done more, but they lost some people late. I feel like some of their players got a Bama bump to keep them up in the rankings a little bit higher than they should have been. But you can't sit here with any kind of spin and tell me that hardcore Alabama folks who know what's what are going to like seeing the state's top talent say, no thanks, we're going to Auburn. They're not going to stand for it long, especially if Auburn stacks up a couple W's on them. But until they do, all that recruiting won't matter.
That's right.
Well, that's just like, Coach Rule spoke, and he was saying that until he got to Nebraska, that he didn't realize how much talent was in this state, and that they were going to spend as much time as anywhere in the state of Alabama.
And you don't know until you know. You don't know until you're down here and you see it in person for guys like you who coach, guys like us that broadcast it. I mean, you just don't know until you see it in person, because not all high school athletes are the same, man. I grew up in Ohio. They're not built like they are down here. I can promise you that.
That's right. That's right, guys.
Appreciate the call, brother. Thanks so much, man. Have a great weekend. That's Dak joining us on the phone lines, 334-321-1390. It's a great conversation because, as Tebow mentioned, the recruiting's great, and it's something that CG could keep Hugh Freeze around a little bit longer than some might like if he can't get wins on the field.
Well, I think that's the mindset going from year two to year three, right? I mean, we saw what happened last year. The product on the field didn't necessarily match the expectations or the talent that was on the field. Now you come into year three almost with a refreshed mindset of, okay, last year was not great. However, you've now stacked two classes. We had another really good high school recruiting class, had another really good transfer portal class as well.
And could stack one in the spring as well.
And could stack another one where you get a couple more guys, as you mentioned, yeah, as well. And it ultimately comes down to now the wins. I don't think that the recruiting class could save him next year if this year does not go as it's supposed to go on the football field.
Guys, I got interesting text outside of the text hotline from our good friend
K-Mag.
The private text.
The private
hotline. K-Mag says, win big? What are you talking about? Imagine is right. Hughes through. K-Bag's out.
K-Bag is done.
He's donezo.
Wow. He sent in the paperwork. He says, get him out now. No faith in year three for Hugh Freeze.
Wow.
Well, let me ask you guys this, and I'll open this up to our listeners as well at 334-321-1390 or in the real on the line text box at 334-784-1067.
Yeah, text there, K-Bag.
How much can Auburn fans, or how much should Auburn fans forget or move on from the first 2 years of the Hugh Freeze campaign? How much should they be able or willing to forgive and forget about what was, let's just say it like it is, a pretty bad first 2 years on the field at least? How much should or will the fans forgive and forget the first 2 years heading into year three? Can it be a clean slate for Hugh in this third year?
It depends on what it looks like, what the product on the field looks like when you hit the first bye.
Winning.
I'm talking going into the season. I'm talking right now.
Winning big.
I think right now you're at the point of, okay, year two is gone, we're moving to year three. But if the product against Baylor looks the exact same like it does against Vanderbilt, or it does then everything from year two gets re-brought up in year three.
Auburn fan who harasses me daily like K-Bag, love you K-Bag, but they just harass me incessantly. T-Bone, what's going on? T-Bone, what have you heard? T-Bone, talk to me.
The insider.
They just hammer me all the time. They're done right now for the most part. Auburn fan, there is no forgetting right now the last two seasons for Auburn fan. Even going into season, they'll get a little bit more excited as we get closer to summer practice.
They always do.
And that's what any fan base does. Vandy thinks, Vandy fans, or at least a couple of them, think they're going to win the national championship every summer. This is the year. These are our guys. We're putting it all together. We're the best. It's happening. But right now, Auburn fan is jaded. Auburn fan is beat down. They're excited about this recruiting. But they're not going to forget the last couple of years, at least the regular fan on the streets. Now, if they win big, all is forgotten. It's amazing. Winning can cure all.
Winning cures all.
Oh, we were beating on a gravedigger? Ha, ha, ha. Who's laughing now? We're SEC champions.
Yep.
But they're like everybody else right now. All Auburn fans got to see it to believe it.
You think that's the majority of the fan base? Yeah,
absolutely. 100%.
I feel like there's some that still, and maybe it's hope.
There's some.
Maybe it's hope. And look, hope can be a dangerous thing.
Hope's a dangerous thing.
There ain't no doubt. Hope is a very dangerous thing.
Well, throw me into that category then.
Is that where you stand?
At the mindset right now of if things change and the product on the field looks differently in Waco, it looks a little bit different at home, and if you're able to go out and win a couple of your SEC games, if you can upset Georgia at home, and the bye week happens, then all of a sudden it's, okay, it looks like there's finally been an ego change, or there's been something where you're willing to make some sort of change because of what you haven't been able to do on the field. That being said, it comes back very, very quickly. If the first half in Waco, you put up 7 points and are down 17-7 at the half, kicking the ball off to Baylor to get the second half started.
Well, I'm sure the two groups you guys are talking about can be merged together. Like, yeah, sure. Everybody's going to be fine if Auburn wins, right? I'm saying right now, heading into year three, can the first two seasons be forgotten? I don't think they can. They can be forgiven.
No, not right now.
But they cannot be forgotten because of the way you lost, the way that they happened, the games you lost that you should have won. And I'll describe it this way as we get to break. I will describe Hugh Freeze in year three the same way we thought we were describing Peyton Thorne last year. It's a short leash. It's a short leash. You don't have very much room for mistakes. You screw up against Baylor, watch out.
Oh, my God.
You start your SEC play with a couple of bad losses and then have to welcome Georgia into a stadium that may not even be full at that point.
They'll
You're
be full
done.
Of dog fans barking like
you
they
better
were
believe
in,
it. You're done.
In Harsin's first year.
It'll be
was
over.
A disgrace.
And so Auburn fans may have a little hope, and they may give some grace, and they may be willing to forget what happened last year. But if it repeats itself, and I'm talking in the opener against Baylor, and if it comes back up against whatever SEC games you think or could be, then you're in trouble if you're Hugh Freeze. And that's where I think we stand heading in to this third year for Hugh Freeze. Okay, let's take a break. We got a phone call to get to. We'll wrap up hour number one with that. Stick around. We'll have more on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. This is the Friday edition of On the Line, and we continue with some great phone calls with another one right here. Spectre, you're on the line. How are you, man? Happy Friday.
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. We're good. What's on your mind?
Hey, the last segment, you know, I'm with T-Bone and you. You know how that goes, fool me once, fool me twice?
Sure.
What happens if you fool me three times?
That's on you.
Yeah. I thought the second one was, I thought the first one was on me. The second one was on them.
I don't know. Yeah. I think if you buy in for three times and get burned every time, at some point you got to step away and go find a different watering hole, no?
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. I'll just leave it at that. I want to talk to y'all about something else. Are you anybody familiar with Special Forces on Fox Channel?
The TV show?
Yeah.
I think I've seen it advertised. I've never sat down and watched it.
Well, our man Cam Newton is on there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, again, I haven't seen it, but I have. Is that the one where he, like, jumped from a helicopter onto
From
the boat to the helicopter?
Yeah, that's one thing. Yeah. It's in its, I think the third episode was Wednesday night. It comes on Wednesday night at 7 on Fox Channel. But, last night he showed who he really was. He said, I wanted to find out who I really was. And he went to a gas chamber and took off his mask, and he could not, he come running out there like a chicken being chased like a fox.
I don't think anybody can handle that.
Oh, yeah, you can handle it. You just got to know what you're doing. You got to just stay calm. And about it, and do what you're supposed to be doing.
I'll take your word for it. I don't think you won't catch me doing that.
Yeah, but it's fun to watch. Though you guys need to check it out. Though Cam is he's holding his own. Though I'm telling you,
okay,
that was about the first task that he failed at. Everything else he's been able to handle.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, but anyway, that's all I have for today. But I just want to tell y'all guys, refuse to lose.
That's right.
I'm waiting up. See you guys.
Thanks, Spectre. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. No, I have not watched it, but look, if there's something Cam Newton can't do, that means Jacob Goetz can't do it either. That's all I'm telling you. And the fact that he jumped off a boat to a helicopter.
That was ridiculous.
That was insane. That video went viral on social media.
Yeah, I mean, he's no spring chicken anymore.
No, like, I mean, he's not old, but he's not young anymore. I mean, he played at Auburn. Get this. 15 years ago now. Coming up this fall will be 15 years since he's been on this campus.
Yeah, he'd been in college 2 or 3 years, too. So he's probably about 36 years old or so, somewhere in there.
37? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he's still a youngin'.
Well, Hey, coming up in hour number two, it is still Free for All Friday, so we are going to talk more college basketball. Auburn hosting Tennessee, College Game Day's in town. We'll talk about why that's important. There are some comments from Jay Billis, Seth Greenberg, who had a media availability today. Also make some picks for around SEC basketball. Looks like we have a phone call. We'll get to that to start the second hour, make sure that Brian has plenty of time to get his thoughts in, and you can get your thoughts in as well at 334-321-1390. That's the call-in number to be a part of the show. Or you can shoot us a text at 334-784-1067. And you heard Spector. I mean, he kind of buys into what we were saying. Auburn fans are willing to have grace if this team is willing to win on the field, Uncle T-Bone. That's what it comes down to.
I think they've had grace. They're about graced and jobbed out.
Graced and jobbed out. Well, fantastic way to end the first hour. Stick around. Hour number two is coming up. We'll have a lot of basketball conversation. Maybe some NFL playoff talk, too, as the AFC and NFC championship games are this weekend. And an announcement to start the third hour as well. We'll have that for you coming up. Hour number one in the book. Stick around. Hour number two after this.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. If you missed any of hour number one, you'll be able to catch up with that and listen to it later on today, as we'll have the audio posted on our station website for you at ESPNAU.com from the entire show. So on a free-for-all Friday, you know we hit as many topics as we can, and we got a lot more to do here in hour number two. We talked college basketball a little bit, kind of tiptoed around Auburn and Tennessee. We're going to dive deeper into that here in the second hour. Plus, had great conversation about Auburn's junior day for football coming up, plus what it's going to take for fans to be satisfied with Auburn football in 2025. We're going to talk college basketball here in the second hour. Got several phone calls to get to, plus an announcement to make as well. So a busy second hour here on the Friday edition of On the Line. And before we do, want to remind you that hour number two each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7 is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. Phone lines are open. We got several to get to. Let's do it now. 334-321-1390, and we'll start with Brian. You're on the air first. What's up, my man? Appreciate you holding on.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are y'all?
Good. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, hey, but just back to the conversation from the previous hour, I guess. You know, I'm in the camp of being Missouri on this football program. I mean, they're going to have to show me, until I get fully invested like I've been in the past. It's been too many cases the last few years of different people putting this program on a pedestal, saying this is the turning point, this is the turning point. When the fact of the matter is, this has been a subpar program for years now.
Yeah.
A decade, really. I mean, we've had 2017 and 2019, I guess, but and especially with Freeze, I mean, I still want him to be the guy, but I've seen nothing so far that shows me that he is the guy. Outside of getting players, there's nothing that's happened on the field that shows me he's the guy.
Yeah. An SEC championship since 2013, played for one since 2017.
That is from 2013 to now is 12 years. You have to go back in my lifetime from 1990 until 2004 in that dry spell of Auburn winning an SEC title. They should have won it in 93. Obviously couldn't play because of the probation, an undefeated best team on radio, and then played for one in 1997. It's not been a good run. It has not been a good run from 14 until now. And it really started going downhill in 17 when Gus Malzahn hijacked this program and the powers to be over at Auburn allowed him to negotiate a brand new $49 million buyout midweek in between the victory over Alabama and Jordan-Hare in the SEC championship game. I mean, he took that louse president of ours, I can't even remember his name, the guy from Iowa State, thank God he's gone, behind the woodshed with Jimmy, his agent. And it's just, for that to have happened, I still blame that as the turning point where Auburn football was financially strapped to Gus Malzahn, win, lose, or draw, and it really started going downhill from there.
No, I mean, I absolutely agree with you, and I've been in that stadium too many times in Section 12, screaming my head off for a win, and saw too much crap put on that field. And it's ridiculous that it's gotten to this point. I hope that this coming up year is the turning point, but I'm just here to tell you that if we do not beat Alabama or Georgia next year, the writing's going to be on the wall. If he makes it to the next year, the writing will be on the wall because we will then have to go back on the road to face those teams. And this guy, I don't think he'll survive going 0-6 versus Alabama and Georgia. There's no way in hell he survives going 0-8 versus Alabama and Georgia. Hmm. So I need to see it next year. Just real quick, and I know you got to get to some other calls, to the basketball front, Neville Arena has become everything that Jordan-Hare Stadium used to be. And I say used Great to be saying. Because everybody likes to put Jordan-Hare Stadium on a pedestal now and try to say it's some magical place and magic happens. Bull crap. Magic used to happen.
Used to be.
Yep. I said that a while ago, that Jordan-Hare in the last several years, Brian, has been just another stadium. And I hate to be that way.
It
but the magic is not there. Auburn fans have tried to create it. They've tried to bring it back. They've tried to dig it out of the grave, and it just hasn't been there because the team and the program hasn't held up their end of the bargain to allow the stadium to be what it used to be. You're absolutely right.
Oh, it absolutely has been. And you know, I get it. We're in the age of I must be entertained all the time and this and that. But I cannot tell you how much it drives me nuts when Auburn is down to New Mexico State by multiple touchdowns and they put Kiss Cam on the freaking Jumbotron and people go crazy over it. There's a problem in this football program.
Preach it, Brian. Preach it. He's jobbed out.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, man.
I hope the problem gets taken away this year. I have doubts. I will be in Section 12 just like I am every year. But I have doubts that we're turning the corner just yet.
We'll see how it goes. Appreciate the call. Appreciate you holding on as well.
I think he speaks for the majority of the fan base, guys. And I'm going to tell you, I've been saying this for years. In 1990, Jordan-Hare Stadium, Jacob, was probably one of the top five college football stadiums in all of college football. I'm not sure right now if I'd put it in the top 25.
And I think it still was in 2017 and 2019 when Auburn had those teams.
There's glimpses, but the team has to show the success as well.
When you start letting, like Brian just said, you start letting New Mexico State come in and beat you, and you drop games to Oklahoma in their first ever year in the SEC, and you let Vanderbilt beat you in Jordan-Hare.
Scoring 17 points.
It's just another stadium. 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. What's up, my man? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Jacob, T-Bone, and Christian, how y'all doing today?
Doing good.
Well. Great. Brian, the caller before me, best call I've ever heard on this station.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that? Did you hear that, Brian? You got high accolades from Mr. Terry.
Best call ever right there. No doubt Hugh Freeze has got to show progress on the field. But with that said, guys, how big of an advantage will the next coach have as opposed to what he had coming in because of the recruiting he's done?
Say that again.
What kind of advantage will the next coach have, talent-wise, with the players he's brought in.
Oh boy!
Well,
and
the
problem of what he inherited.
I know where you're about, and, what you're about to say.
Malzahn.
Well, so you're talking in the fact of if Hugh Freeze doesn't survive, right? Does the next coach walk in? Compared to Ryan Day, right? Who I saw a quote today. Somebody said Ryan Day started on third base with that Ohio State program and just slid into home with a national championship. It took him longer than it should have, but I think that's a great way to describe it. Here's the problem. Look how college football is formulated now. Look how it runs. Nobody hangs around anymore. Terry, Jeremiah Smith, the best receiver in college football who just torched the playoff for Ohio State. You know that name, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was just offered $4.5 million to enter the transfer portal and leave Ohio State today. So if Hugh Freeze doesn't survive, think about all the recruits, all the players that are here right now. We've talked about this roster and how good it can be. Do you think they're all going to hang around, or the moment that that coach gets fired, whether it's Auburn or somewhere else, that they're not going to have offers in their DMs and their emails and on their phones to go and play somewhere else, whether it be for money or not? They're going to have offers to go anywhere but here.
The meat market is now officially wide open on the plains when that happens, if that happens.
Now, there's no doubt that the play that would be wide open, but there's enough talent still there that's going to be there better than what he inherited.
I will say that I would imagine there would probably be,
you would hope,
at the very least, more talent there than what he inherited. But, you know, that ain't saying a whole lot. That's like saying that the JV team is a little bit better than the Pee Wee team.
Yeah. It's just like I said, guys, he's got to show progress on the field. I've been a Hugh Freeze guy from the beginning, but I'm off the bandwagon. And he's got to show. I'm like Brian. Hey, I'm from Missouri. He's got to show me.
And
it starts with the quarterback position. He's put all his eggs into Jackson Arnold now, like he did Peyton Thorne last year. And he tried to convince everybody that Peyton Thorne had turned the corner and he'd gotten better and all that. He got no better. He got no worse, but he got no better.
I think he has a few more options now. At least better if Jackson Arnold doesn't work out. You at least trust that Ashton Daniels could get you by, or you just hope that Deuce Knight is a baller and goes out there as a star-studded freshman.
Okay, okay.
The best thing about that is there's a battle now.
Do you really think a coach on the hot seat like Hugh Freeze is going to put his faith in a true freshman?
You wouldn't hope so, but hey, Billy Napier had to do it. Billy Napier did it, and Lagway's turned out to be fantastic, right?
Saved his job.
Not saying that's going to happen here, not saying that happens every time, but it saved Billy Napier's job, absolutely.
Right, and it could save Hugh Freeze. I don't know that, but I just find that very hard to believe that a true freshman, he is going through spring for all that's worth.
Right, and I'd rather it not get to that point, Terry. I don't want Jackson Arnold to spin out and flame out and not be good and have to start Deuce Knight against Georgia. I don't want to have to do that. Absolutely not.
Right, and everybody says the offensive line wasn't any better but Peyton Thorne, but when the offensive line did give it a time, the bum wouldn't throw the ball away.
Well, they threw the ball too much is what happened. Offensive line was horrible in pass pro. They were the best unit in the SEC in run blocking, and Auburn still threw the ball.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390.
As a fan, you know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of having this conversation over and over again, whether it's going back to really and truly when Tuberville left, through Gene Chizik, through Malzahn, through Brian Harsin, which the majority of the fans were against, and through Hugh Freeze now, it's almost like the debate continues to be about the coach. What I'm just ready to be down for is just the brand. I don't really care who's coaching the program. I just want my team and my university and my, as an alumni and fan and lifelong fan and brand, to mean something really powerful again on that football field and an identity be set. And I'm just going to cheer for Auburn. And I don't care who the coach is, you know, I don't want to debate any longer, should this guy be or be not our coach? Can we finally get past that ever? And I'm not saying it's us as fans that are a problem with that. It's just because of the cause and effect. The cause is they've been bad for a long time, and the effect is, you know, we have to debate whether or not this is the guy to turn around and be the next Pat Dye for us or not.
Well, you say that and you bring that up, and I want to say this as we get to break, because I see it, I hear it. not just today, but as the offseason has lingered on, because it's been longer for Auburn than most teams, unfortunately, and you have all spring and all summer, where I'm asking and borderline begging Auburn fans to not go, and they're teetering on it right now, do not cheer for the downfall of Hugh Freeze and Auburn football because want a head coaching change.
No.
That happens everywhere. That happens in football, basketball, professional. That is not where you want to be. I'm telling you. That it does not bring the positive change that you think it does. No.
It's going to give you 8 more years of exactly what you've seen the past 8.
You should want Hugh Freeze to be successful. Should want whoever it is to be successful.
There's a lot of people out there, and I used to be one of these people when I was younger and immature, that just got off on being right because I called it from day one. I didn't want him then. Don't want him now. That is the last thing I want. I mean, I wish Brian Harsin was still here and we racked up 3 national championships in a row. You see what I'm saying? Because it'd be good for Auburn.
Yes.
Because I'm an Auburn fan.
Right.
But there are way, way, way too many people who still get off on being an internet warrior, a message board champion, big guy behind the computer. I never wanted him. I was right. You were wrong. End of discussion. Listen to me. You don't have all the answers. You don't want to cheer for that. You don't want to be that negative. You don't want to do it. I promise you.
334-321-1390. We'll take a break. Come back. We have an announcement to discuss about the show. Then we'll move on and talk some NFL playoffs. We'll talk college basketball as Auburn hosts Tennessee in one of the biggest games so far this season. That's all coming up here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
Back inside the studio at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. It's the Friday edition of On the Line. We've had a lot of fun so far covering a little bit of everything. More football talk on the show than I thought we'd have today, but I love it, man. Offseason is officially upon us. Talking season is here in terms of football things and lots of basketball discussion to have, NFL playoffs as well. We're going to get to all of that coming up in just a little bit. But we said it yesterday on the way out and have mentioned it a few times today that we had some news to share, some changes to announce in terms of what you hear between 2 and 4. I guess the best way, the show is not going anywhere, just a little personnel change. It is nothing happened, nothing wrong, just how things go at times. And so, Uncle T-Bone, I'm going to toss it to you and let you let you say how you'd like to say it, and we'll go from there, my friend.
Well, the news is I'm taking over full-time, and Jacob's the new voice of the Boston Celtics.
See you later. Boston called. They wanted me. I'm out.
No, my time has come up on the line for now. Just other work responsibilities have taken way too much of my time to, unfortunately, continue on a regular schedule here like we have been. You know, I was Monday, Wednesday, Friday when I first started. Then it went to Monday, Friday, and it's just too much. Still going to continue to be on the post-game show on Wings 94.3 with Jack after the game. And obviously, hopefully, the Saturday shows this fall before the game. And then occasionally, if not maybe a Friday spot during football season with On the Line. Football's my jam. This time of year, though, begins a really busy time of year for me work-wise until really mid-September. And it's been a heck of a ride, man. I really appreciate it. I've always wanted to be a co-host or host of my own radio show. You allowed me to come in and do that. I think I've grown. I hope I've been entertaining. I hope I've been an asset, and I hope everyone's had a lot of fun. Shane and Mark, y'all can come back to the show now. Please do. In all seriousness, though, Jacob, I really appreciate it. I really appreciate all the listenership and support. And I'll be around. Don't worry. I'll be on from time to time. I'll always be listening when I can. Occasionally, I'll probably call in and pop in. And then we're going to do some live remotes with Sensegreen.
Yes.
Heating, cooling, and insulation, the company that I work for in marketing and business development. And so I'll be on air on all of those shows as well. You know, we're going to sponsor the big game.
The big game promotion. Yep.
Sensegreen is. I want you all to make sure you get in on that. There's a really cool gift that we're giving away here at the radio station and on social media with Sensegreen. It's the same thing. So you'll hear that announcement. And then tip off the tourney will be back this year at the Plaza Bar and Lounge.
We had a great time.
And you talk about
bringing a party.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I think it's going to be even bigger this year. A lot of gifts from Sensor Green, who's sponsoring that, along with the Plaza Bar. So, man, Jacob, I really appreciate it. You are a tremendously talented young man. I've learned so much every day being in here. I love to learn. And you do a great job. I don't think all of y'all realize how hard he, Christian Griffin, Jack, all the people here at the radio station work to make this kind of show happen. Just this one show and just this one station is a lot. There's multiple stations and multiple shows going on here, all very talented and good, nice, really down-to-earth, awesome people. It's been a pleasure working with y'all. I'm going to continue working with y'all, Sensor Green. That's another thing I want to say. Business owners, and this is a testimony, you can get with me privately, I'll tell you more, but teaming up with the Auburn Network, with this show, with this station, has been so fortuitous for Sensor Green that we've began to move into other stations here. I highly recommend this team and platform. If you've been on the edge of making a commitment, or you want to dip your toe in water and expand your brand, expand your business in marketing and advertising, these are really good people to do it with. I promise you won't be disappointed. So thank you so much. We've had nothing but positive results and more of those every day with Sensor Green. So I highly recommend this place. And man, it's just, I want to say one last time, it's been an honor to be on air, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, we've had a fantastic time. It's been longer than I thought. Thank you. Appreciate that. It's been longer than I thought. I was sitting out looking at it the other day,
yeah.
and I was like, my goodness. I mean, I'm coming up on 3 years in general, and I realized you're a third of that.
Yeah, it's almost a year and a half.
Yeah, and
yeah.
It's just been incredible, man. The show has grown so much because of you, the people that you know, the entertainment value you've brought, the craziness you bring every time in here. And I say you're wild, you're crazy, and everybody's favorite. And those words are true, man. For people that hear you on the radio or know you in person, those words are true, and I mean them to the fullest gratitude of extent. And so I thank you for what you've done to be able to help me with this show and one of the many that have sat in that chair, and it's been just an honor and a blast. And again, you're not going anywhere. In terms of the radio, you're not disappearing for good.
No.
You're still going to be on After the Game, as you mentioned, Game Day on Wings. You'll be on Fridays here in football season at times and in mm-hmm. remotes. And so your voice will ring very loud on the airwaves. I'm sure it will. And so appreciate you and everything you've brought to this show. And so with that, we have more news coming on Monday in terms of what you can expect to hear moving forward for this show. But in terms of today, we still have about 35 more minutes to talk a lot of things. And in the next few minutes, how about NFL playoffs, gentlemen? How about the NFL playoffs continuing, NFC and AFC championship games? T-Bone, you said you had some interesting takes and interesting thoughts on the NFL playoffs, the championship games coming up this weekend. Are you going a direction that John Q. Public says don't go?
I'm going with both the Bills and the Commanders this weekend, not only to cover, but outright win. And John Q. Public's going straight in the other direction. This Commanders-Eagles game, 12-5 Commanders versus 14-3 Eagles at home, opens up at 4.5. Now they're at 6. Bills and Chiefs at home. Every referee's favorite team, the Chiefs, open up at minus a hook, and now they're at minus 2.5. It kind of coming back down a little bit to 1.5. So John Q. Public loves, or at least Big Money loves, both favorites here. And I'm going in the other direction. I think both the underdogs are just super hot. And I'm not really sure about the status of Jalen Hurts, 100% status, that is.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles are loaded. But I'm not sure anybody can stop Jaden Daniels right now. And the Allen guy is just – he's on fire.
Yeah, this would be – if that's the case, it would be the first rookie quarterback to play for a Super Bowl with Jaden Daniels. And so what a job he's done. Again, led the Commanders to a victory over the Lions, went 22 of 31, threw for almost 300 yards and 2 touchdowns, ran for quite a bit as well. You're not following the zebra stripes, Uncle T-Bone. You're taking Josh Allen and the most likely MVP candidate to walk his way to the Super Bowl.
According to the books, right, for entertainment purposes only. If you were to sprinkle a little Monopoly money on the two underdogs together, Uncle T, that'd be plus 610 odds. That's not too bad if you could get both of those. I think the Commanders being such big underdogs in the game against the Eagles, I just, look, man, the Bills and Chiefs game is going to be fantastic. And if the officials can stay out of the way, stay out of the game, and keep it in your pocket, I think you have a chance to see one of the best playoff games we've ever seen. And we've seen that with these two franchises before. The Bills and the Chiefs have had several great games in this very moment of the AFC Championship game. And if there's a time that the Buffalo Bills are going to get it done, I think this is the year you got to do it. Because if you don't, I just don't know if you ever will. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have done it already. And they have less to lose, I feel like, than the Bills do to an extent. In the other game on the NFC side, I think the Eagles are really good. They did exactly what I thought they were going to do over the past couple of weeks. The Commanders are the greatest story in football. And Jaden Daniels is one of the most likable guys I've seen in the sport in quite some time. But I like Jalen Hurts, too. I really do. I think the gas is run out. I think it's been a great story. I'll take the Eagles to win, and I'll take the Bills to get the upset over the Chiefs in Kansas City. I like the Eagles and the Bills in the Super Bowl.
As much as I want to pick Josh Allen and the Bills, it's almost kind of like the great head coach of whoever you're least favorite team is, that until they lose, you feel like you can't go away from them. Kansas City at home. For some reason, I will take them to win and to cover, like a 27-24 type of game. And I think the weather plays a little bit of a factor in Philadelphia. I really, really want to go with the Commanders. Sounds like the easy pick, but to be a little bit different, I will go the favorites. We'll work their way to the Super Bowl.
Okay, we'll see how it goes. NFL playoffs this weekend, NFC and the AFC championship games. But before those games happen, lots of great college basketball coming up tomorrow. We'll make our quick picks around the SEC and dive into Auburn and Tennessee happening inside of Neville Arena coming up tomorrow night.
On the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goertz. Across from me, Christian Griffin, also Uncle T-Bone in here as well, as we are flipping to full basketball conversation for the last 30 minutes of the show with Auburn and Tennessee getting after it tomorrow night inside of Neville Arena. 7:30 tip on ESPN television. Of course, here locally, you can listen to it with Andy Burcham and Randall Dickey on the call over on Wings 94.3. They will go on the air at 7. They'll have the game broadcast. And then following that, staying up late with Uncle T-Bone and Jumpin' Jack Cutton, they'll have after the game on Wings 94.3 from the Orthopedic Clinic and Sensa Green Heating and Air. They'll be on. You guys are going to be on late tomorrow night, Uncle T.
It'll be a late night.
It'll be after 10 o'clock before you guys get on the air. So for those of you that'll be driving through or going home or whatever the case may be, turn on the radio and just never turn it from Wings 94.3 tomorrow evening. Let's talk Auburn and Tennessee, right? There's so much conversation around Jani Broome and whether he plays, whether he doesn't play, should he play or should he not play. We've gotten our thoughts out about that. I want to talk about if he does not play, or things that will impact the game regardless if he plays or not. And I think Auburn, right now, in SEC play, will be going up against a Tennessee team tomorrow that has the best guards they've seen yet. The best guards that Auburn has seen in SEC play. I think it will rival what Iowa State has. I think it will rival what Purdue has. Probably better than Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little worse than Iowa State, not by much, but I mean, you're talking Zakai Ziegler, who is one of the best guards this conference has seen in the past decade. And yeah. So Auburn ball handlers have to be ready tomorrow, whether it's Denver Jones, who, Christian, you and I agree, was kind of shaky last weekend in Athens, to Todd Pettiford, who has played out of his absolute mind in the past couple of weeks, or Chad Baker or whoever else decides to get the basketball in their hands, you've got to take care of it because Tennessee will force turnovers, and they're one of the best in the country at scoring off those turnovers as well.
I think you got to fight fire with fire here and finally unleash Tahad Pettiford as a starter, but keep Denver Jones and Miles Kelly in to start the game as well, and see if that length that the Tigers have and that physicality on the guard at the guard level can kind of negate the offensive prowess of Ziegler especially. And listen, this is where I coined the phrase, guys.
Uh-oh.
This is Bruce Pearl's bread and butter. It started in 2019 when Auburn went on to the Final Four, the last game of the season, and the Tigers had gotten hot. Tennessee came to town. I believe they were playing for the regular season championship, if I recall. May or may not, I can't remember. And Auburn ran Tennessee up out of Neville Arena. And they did it by getting in transition. Barnes will want to slow this game down just like the Mississippi State tried to do, just like South Carolina did, just like Missouri did, and get Auburn into a half-court game. And then play staunch defense, slow the game down, and try and get physical on Auburn, and especially go to a wounded at a wounded Jani Broome if he's in the game. Auburn cannot get into that type of game. This is where transition game is Bruce Pearl's bread and butter. Play staunch defense yourself, especially on their guards. Hit the boards hard. Kick the ball out. Get down to the court. You're going to create very makeable space on three-pointers in transition. If you get into a half-court game, they're going to shut the three-point shot down.
I think it very much comes down to the transition opportunities, but the word opportunities, right? You're not going to be able to get up and down the floor throughout the entire game. Auburn right now is a 7.5-point favorite. The money line favoring Auburn, the over-under sitting at 140.5. So they're expecting this to be a 73-67 type game inside of Neville Arena. I don't think you want to get into a rebounding half-court type of game, but you're going to have to, for a majority of the game, it's going to be when you can get out and run, being able to take advantage. Again, Rick Barnes and this team might be just about, maybe a little bit, but are seems like they're just as old as Auburn is within the guys that are returning. You feel like Zakai Ziegler has been the point guard there since 2010 and continues to rack up just about a double-double, averages over 10 points a game, almost 8 assists per game as well. They want to run a bunch of half-court sets, and they've got guys that can shoot it behind the three-point line, just as Auburn does. You're going to have to find ways to corral defensive rebounds, and if they give you the opportunities to get out and run, you'll happily take it. Otherwise, I feel like you're going to have to win a bunch of half-court sets inside of Neville Arena tomorrow night.
It's a classic Tennessee team, guys. Listen to this. In their first six games of SEC play, they have yet to see 80 on the scoreboard either way. They have yet to score 80, and their opponents have yet to score 80. Whereas Auburn loves to score 80 points. Auburn hits 80 all the time. And so you have to expect to not score like you normally do. And that is to credit what you guys have talked about with the half-court offense that they run, which is super, super slow. They're going to use 20-plus seconds of the shot clock. And also the stifling defense that they play. But on the flip side of how much that helps Tennessee, it gets them in trouble at times. They scored 43 points against Florida a few weeks ago on January 7th. 43 points in 40 minutes.
Made, what, 12 field goals?
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't do anything offensively. Now, give a lot of credit to that Florida team, but Tennessee was abysmal that day offensively. And
well, that Florida team is a mirrored style of Bruce Pearl's teams. That's what Todd Golden does. Mm-hmm. You know, he's from that Bruce Pearl coaching tree. And Auburn, historically, since Bruce Pearl has been here, has matched up very well with Tennessee because of that style.
Listen to this schedule that Tennessee plays, with starting with the game they just played this midweek against Mississippi State. In their next 2, 4, 6, 7 games, they'll play 6 of those as top 25 matchups. They played 14th-ranked Mississippi State on Tuesday. They play at number 1 Auburn tomorrow night. Then home against number 9 Kentucky. Home against number 5 Florida. Home against 22 Missouri. At Oklahoma. And then they're back at Kentucky on February 11th. That is the description. That is the very look of what an SEC schedule looks like this year. And so, good news for Tennessee is you're only coming off of one ranked game against Mississippi State, and you won that game 68-56. You won it going away. Problem is, Uncle T, you're stepping into the most hostile environment in college basketball inside a Neville Arena,
right,
with a game that doesn't start till 7:30, which means the fans, some like you, have all day to get ready to get wild and crazy, and it all starts with College game day there tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about an atmosphere on steroids tomorrow, and probably Jack Daniels and cold snacks as well, right? Not me. I'm working tomorrow,
that's
Jacob.
Right.
So
that's right.
I'm a professional radio guy, and I know when to let it rip and when not to. But the Auburn faithful, I mean, remember last year, though, this same situation to an extent was happening, because this is the fifth year in a row, a record 5 years in a row on game day, for game day being on a college campus. Look at Auburn. Look at this program.
And they're doing it week one.
And they're doing it
right, the very first week of game day of the year. Yep.
But Kentucky came to town last year, and that crowd was pretty lit, and this was a big atmosphere. I believe we talked about it on a Friday like this. And on Monday, I got so riled up that Ben Taylor texted you and said, Uncle T-Bone's on one, isn't he? When Kentucky just jobbed us up in front of the national audience, taking the ball at rim at will. I don't think that Tennessee is the type team like Kentucky and Calipari and Missouri, who gave Auburn some problems doing that, South Carolina, who really did, taking the ball at will to the rim. I just really like Auburn's matchup here. Bruce Pearl's style of coaching, his style of teams. He has blown out Rick Barnes several times. And with game day here, I think this will be one of the all-time Auburn basketball atmospheres tomorrow. And that's saying something, because Pearl's done such a heck of a job with that at Neville Arena. I look for the Tigers to blow the Vols out, and we're going to be partying late night on Wings 94.3.
Just right before we get to the phone line, Bruce Pearl said that this could be the biggest regular season game that Neville Arena has ever seen, and it's crazy to think that with the schedule that Auburn's playing, he could say that two or three times later on in the season.
334-321-1390. Clay, you're on the line. What's up, my man?
Hey, I know y'all call him Uncle T-Bone, but I'm going way back to the dadgum Longshore days, to the dadgum Jim Fife and Barry McKnight days on AM 740 here in Montgomery. Realist, we're going to miss you twice a day for multiple hours instead of just that epic 15-minute Jim Rome got nothing on me call, brother. Wreck him.
I appreciate that, Clay. That's how I really got involved in sports talk radio. It was a little even before those days in the early 2000s. I actually started listening to Bill Cameron when he was on AM in Tallahassee, Alabama, and I think he was on at 6 o'clock at night, if I remember. I was in high school and could barely pick up that station, and we didn't have sports talk radio in Auburn then, in the early 90s, and it was something that I was completely fascinated by it. I couldn't believe that it even existed. I didn't even know it existed. That's how much of a bubble Auburn was. And then Bill and Andy started on another station with Sports Call, and boom, we're off and running. And yours truly used to call in as T-Bone, and now after all these years, I'm Uncle T-Bone. And we used to have a lot of fun.
There's a lot of tears there, because I grew up on Sports Talk, and Jim and Bill had a show on 1170, actually, in the afternoon.
They
came on off of the legendary Don and did a little show there. But I cannot agree with you more. If you didn't notice, when BP got the all-time winningest record at Auburn, they did a little thing for him, and there were all these players and former players and all, and Coach, I send you a letter every year on Father's Day from Tennessee, gave him a cameo on there and said, thank you, Daddy Bruce, please don't beat me by 30 this weekend.
Yeah.
But that's what BP is gonna do. He is gonna lay the hammer to Tennessee.
I love it. I love the prediction. Clay, appreciate the call, my man. Appreciate you listening as well. 334-321-1390. Looks like you're a popular pick, Uncle T, with Auburn just smacking Tennessee inside of Neville Arena tomorrow. I think it has the potential to be that, but ain't no way I'm going to bet or pick that, right? Because Tennessee and Rick Barnes are just way too good. They're way too good. And if Jahni Broome does not play, Tennessee's got every chance in the world to win this basketball game. Every chance in the world to win this game. I think they could do it even with Jahni Broome, depending on what his health status is. I've made it clear, I don't think he should play. If he's not 100%, leave him on the bench. He is better off in March than in a game against Tennessee in late January. That's how I look at it in terms of guys that you need to know for this Tennessee team. We've mentioned a couple of names, right? Zakai Ziegler, somebody who is their leader. He averages 12 points a game, 7.5 assists per game. Does Zakai Ziegler. Their leading scorer is Chaz Lanier. He's the guard, and Auburn's got to worry about him and Jordan Ganey. So look at it this way. Your most important players tomorrow, Denver Jones, Tahad Pettifer, Chad Baker-Mazzara. You have to play really, really well. And Miles Kelly, I'll throw him in that loop as well. They have to guard really, really good tomorrow, and they have to do it without fouling, guys. If Auburn gets in foul trouble in this game, they're in deep, deep trouble. That's at the guard spot and with Dylan Cardwell down low.
Well, listen, in this league, and you said it, with or without Jahni Broome, Tennessee could beat Auburn. If you don't show up and strap it up, Alabama found this out last week against Ole Miss, you're going to get beat, and you're going to get beat down, even at home. And it can happen to you at any moment if you're not ready to go. And Auburn found that out against Georgia, who's solid. But Auburn's still the better team without Jahni Broome. They found that out at South Carolina. Auburn's a way better team, in my opinion, than the Gamecocks. And with Jahni Broome in that game for almost three-fourths of the game, they messed around and almost found out.
Yeah.
So you can't let your guard down. But with this atmosphere, this opportunity – for the very first game day of the year. Ain't no way Bruce Pearl's going to let this one slip away. They're going to come out swinging. Neville's going to be on fire. And Auburn's just going to pummel Tennessee. I mean, shoot. They're going to win by 25.
You mentioned Chaz Lanier, the leading scorer for the Volunteers, averages 18.5 a game. You look at his game log. In the games that Tennessee wins, look at his stats. Had 23 against Mississippi State. Had 29 against Arkansas. He's had 24, 23, 22, 26 against Syracuse, 25 against Baylor, 26 against Virginia. Then you look at some of the games that Tennessee has lost. He only had 17 against Vanderbilt, only 5 against Georgia. Yes, Tennessee won that game, but for those that watched, it was a much closer game than what the final score shows. He only had 10 against Florida, going 3 of 16 from the field. That's the kind of pressure that Auburn's defense is going to have to supply if they want to win in Neville Arena tomorrow night.
We'll make our final SEC picks in Auburn and Tennessee and wrap up the Friday edition of On the Line in the Uncle T-Bone era as well. We'll have that for you right after this as we wrap it all up on the other side.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Got a few more minutes before we step out of the studio. The drive coming up. Bill Cameron, Coach Don Dunn will be here for the next couple of hours. They'll be talking about Auburn basketball, of course, some Auburn football things as well. And with Auburn football and Auburn athletics, we have Uncle T-Bone lost a couple of big names and representatives of Auburn football, people that have had huge impacts on and off and inside the buildings, outside those buildings as well. I mean, it's been a tough couple of weeks in terms of what Auburn has lost in terms of a couple of legends.
Yeah, very sad day to learn of the passing of a local legend in Francis Sanda. Was the official scorer for Auburn basketball since 1970. Get you some of that. Just a true legend over there on campus and in the community. I went to high school with Francis' middle daughter, Michelle, who was a year older than me. My sister graduated high school with their oldest son, Mike, and then their youngest son, my friend Mark Meat Sanda, was a freshman in high school when I was a senior. I've played many a NFL neighborhood football league games in Francis Sanda's front yard and wiffle ball games in his front yard, and known that family practically my whole life. So just a terrible loss for the Auburn community, and my heart's out to him.
And also the passing of Chet Williams with Auburn football, whose ceremony has been in the works, and think, you know, weather changed that around, but I know that his life was celebrated as well. And so appreciate you saying that. And we've got just a few more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line. And rapid fire, guys. I mean, like quickly, like one word, very quick answers here. With some of the SEC games around college basketball not named Auburn and Tennessee, I said it earlier, and I'm going to make the prediction. I think South Carolina beats Mississippi State tomorrow. They play at noon on the SEC Network. Give me South Carolina to get their first SEC win. I think they beat Mississippi State tomorrow at home there in Columbia.
Wouldn't be surprised by that. Their big man's playing awfully well, but Mississippi State's a well-coached team, and they got some bigs as well. Got a big win over Ole Miss. I'm going to take the Bulldogs on the road barely to continue the misery for the Gamecocks.
They're 10.5-point favorites are Mississippi State. I'll stick with the Dogs as well.
Kentucky on the road in Nashville, a place that teams have fallen before. Can the Cats get it done against Vanderbilt? I'm taking Kentucky. I think Kentucky rolls.
I was going to say, I think Kentucky wins it big. I think Vanderbilt got the one home game that they needed to continue on and bring people into the gym, but I'll take the Cats big.
I like number 9 Kentucky here as well. Alabama really exposed Vanderbilt the other night. They just didn't look like they could get in sync. I'll say this, though. This is going to be a high-scoring affair. Vanderbilt can put up some points, and Kentucky plays zero defense.
How about Texas A&M on the road in Austin? First time these two teams have matched up in the SEC on the hardwood. Somehow, Texas is a favorite at home.
Really? I mean, really? A&M by 30.
Ain't no way Texas beats Texas A&M, right?
Give me the Horns.
I like the Horns, too. I think.
Give me them.
I think the freshman for Texas, I think this kid will go nuts against Texas A&M tomorrow. That place will be going. Give me Trey Johnson and the Longhorns to
Whatever.
Win and beat Texas A&M tomorrow. We continue on other games around the SEC. Georgia on the road at Florida. I got Florida big. I have Florida big.
Bloodbath alert. Georgia's reeling when they missed their shot at taking down the King, and that is Auburn. That is us. They're going on a 3-game losing streak.
Florida is probably the best matchup for Georgia that you'll see. Florida answers every single thing that Georgia tries to throw at you. It'll be Florida big at home.
Only the second top 25 matchup in the SEC tomorrow, other than Auburn and Tennessee, we all had this bookmarked. Ole Miss and Missouri, top 25 game at Columbia, 5 o'clock on the SEC Network. Is it crazy to say I like Missouri here? I like Missouri to beat Ole Miss.
This is the rock fight game of the year right here. These two will probably end up in a brawl. I like Ole Miss barely on the road.
I talked about Missouri being the team, again, we talked about earlier in the week, that I think can make the jump, right? Kind of sits there, the team that you don't necessarily trust. However, they're at home. They've played really good at home. I will go with the Missouri Tigers close.
We've all got Alabama wiping the floor with LSU. How about Oklahoma and Arkansas? Two teams that are combined 2-9 in SEC play. I'll take Arkansas to win their second one in a row because it's at home.
I like the Hogs, too. They got a little taste of victory, and Calipari will build on that. Oklahoma is a fool's gold. They're not going to the NCAA tournament. They'll probably get beat in the first round of the NIT.
Auburn and Tennessee tomorrow. You can listen to it over on Wings 94.3. They tip off at 7:30. T-Bone's got Auburn winning by 50.
Yeah.
I think Auburn wins with or without Jani Broome. I do. I think the crowd gets them through it. I think the guards play well enough. I'll take Auburn to beat Tennessee.
I will take Auburn as well. Closer than whatever the line is, if it's 7.5, 6.5, I think Tennessee comes in and does a really nice job. I got Auburn 72, Tennessee 70.
Listen to it tomorrow, Wings 94.3 at 7:30, and then after the game, we'll follow that with Jumpin' Jack Cutton and Uncle T-Bone as well. And speaking of Uncle T-Bone, my man, it's been a pleasure. Another era in the books of On the Line. We appreciate you, sharing.
Jabba
Wiggle.
In fact.
Wiggle Wiggle.
You can catch him tomorrow on After the Game. He'll be around the radio stations as well. And more news coming on Monday. That's right. We got to replace a legend somehow. So we'll do that on Monday. But until then, have a great weekend. We're back 2-4 on ESPN 106.7. For Christian Griffin and one final time, Uncle T-Bone, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.